So thank you very much, Kiara, for your presence on my show.
Yeah, no problem.
So
How's
I can
it
see, yeah, I can see you're doing a lot of work, so I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Oh, really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Somebody's watching. So.
So, before starting talking about your work and your work experience, can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
Yeah, I'm Kira Carey. I work in developer relations in Cloudsmith, and I'm a software engineer. That's my background. I have worked as a software engineer for over 10 years, and then made a change just a few years ago into developer relations with Cloudsmith. So yeah, and Cloudsmith is a cloud native universal artifact management solution. And so everybody needs to store your built artifacts somewhere. And we make it available no matter where you are in the world. And we integrate with all the tools that you like, and we provide a great service and support. So that's us, and that's me.
You're from Ireland.
Yes, I'm from Ireland. I'm from Dublin, and Cloudsmith is a Northern Irish company. They're headquartered in Belfast. And actually, we're all meeting up on Wednesday, Thursday, so tomorrow. It'll be great. It's not so far away. Ireland isn't that big. It's like less than 2 hours away. So yeah, it'd be
Oh,
great to see.
before talking more about your work and your experiences, I just want to tell about my sponsor, the American sponsor that I have for my podcast.
Oh yeah. Go
Yeah,
first.
so Start Adam. Sales and customer facing teams often switch between several communication tools, causing time management and visibility issues that can slow down deal velocity. The solution, Start Adam, where conversation converts. With Start Adam, your team can centralize all communications within your chat tool. No more switching, waiting, or fragmented chats, because chat messaging is where business gets done. Sales teams can stay in Slack or Microsoft Teams and connect with customers, leads, or candidates on their existing chat tool, building better relationships through constant communication in inbound or outbound messaging. Make it encrypted and compliant, plus bring all communications into your CRM or no ticketing or ticketing system, no data entry required. Join Start Adam to enhance customer relationships and close deals at hyper speed with unified chat. Thank you, Sierra, again, your presence.
Oh yeah, no problem.
So, how you started your journey as a software engineer?
Yeah, so I started as a vision system engineer working on a factory, owning all the vision systems, developing them, supporting them, the whole life cycle. And yeah, back then our deployment strategy was a USB key into the back of the box, and our versioning was probably we shouldn't, let's not think about that. And it was a great role. It was lovely to see the people using the tool, to help them, and like it was fun playing with all the hardware, the cameras, all that kind of stuff as well. So, and then from there I moved, so that was mostly C++, a bit of C sharp. Then I moved to a web app team where it was all helping people print from the web. So that was all C sharp. That was a real transforming role for me, right into pure software development. And then I moved to a security company, Mandiant, and then later FireEye. And it was the tooling. That's probably where I first went into using open source. Before then, because it was like the .NET world, the C sharp world, you just kind of used the frameworks that were given, or you paid for a DLL if you needed something. Whereas in this role, we worked in those ecosystems that had a lot of packages available, like Python, Node. And so that was another great experience. Also, working on a security product, we definitely had more rules about trying to maintain secure software, which was brilliant, but I also saw the disadvantage of that, or how it like stops your flow, how it slows things down. And so you don't get everything for free. You want to be more secure, and you have to there's negatives to it as well, definitely as a developer. So also introduced to loads of new tooling in this role, and eventually we did this cloud transformation, which was part of trying to get the product into the cloud, whereas before we used to ship the box with our product on it. And so being part of that, introduced to all the you know, containerization and new design frameworks and stuff like that. And then during COVID, I took a year out to mind my children. and then I was like, when I was going back, I planned on taking a year, and I did take a year. And I started applying for roles and just, you know, software development roles, and I just wasn't feeling it. You know, those I was talking to a recruiter, Edward Carl, who works with startups, and I was like, you know, I don't want to be a software engineer right now. I'm always going to be a software engineer, but I don't want to work as a programmer full time. And then he was like, oh, have you heard of what a developer relation role is? I'm like, I've never heard this before. What is this you speak of? And so he put me in touch with Cloudsmith, and we just really clicked. And it was quite early, you know, on. There was like 10 of us at the time. And so it was a real hybrid role. I was delighted they took me on, because, you know, I hadn't worked in this role before. They took a chance on me. And it's been great. So really enjoyed it. At the start, it was like, it wasn't pure developer relations, and I liked it that way. It was support, it was like sales engineering, it was like you know, customer success, a bit of product. But now we're really maturing as a company. The last few years, we have we've more sectioned off these groups. We have our customer success team, our support team, our product team. You know, they're all have their heads. And so now I'm doing more developer relations stuff. So the last year, and I was able to concentrate more, introduce a webinar program, write more blogs, that kind of thing. Yeah, so that's me, that's everything. And I just to go back to my background, I think that like I've worked in like lots of different teams, I've taken part in that cloud transformation, I kind of understand all these different roles, and I think I really understand, that's my superpower, kind of understanding and feeling empathy for that developer that's like just trying to get their code to build and it doesn't work and you don't know why, and I want to make life easier for them and tell them about Cloudsmith and help Cloudsmith get better. And yeah, that's who I am, that's where I am.
So working with communicating with computer, with different programming languages, being a software engineer, spending a lot of time on that profession, now becoming a developer relationships, trying to understand another side of the technology business. So how do you define this transformation in you?
You know, this transformation in me, I think I'm more suited to this role. I love people. I love helping people. Not that like a developer doesn't love helping people, but like it's very different. You know, you spend a lot of time with yourself working on code. And I think I love talking to people. I love like helping them solve a problem. And so I think I took to it quite easily. I try to my webinars, I'm trying to make them so that we're helping you solve a problem. Usually there is still some technology involved. I'll have to research. So this. I still have that in me where you have to go research how to do something and possibly do some code for it. If you're doing a workflow, maybe, you know, or if you're doing an integration with the tooling. So I haven't completely left behind coding. And I suppose the new skills I bring, I suppose writing, I found that kind of hard at the beginning. Writing a blog, I still take too long. But I suppose that's a skill, trying to understand that, trying to make your introduction interesting, trying to make your title interesting. And also another skill is, like, I was just doing the webinars. You know yourself, you've probably gotten way better over the last while, like planning your introduction, introducing people, all these like little things that you kind of build up, and before you're tripping over, you're like, oh, I forgot to mention my sponsor or something, you know, I forgot to tell people my name. That's what I used to do. Oh, I never said my name. Miss my opportunity. So just building up these little skills. I think nearly a lot of developers could do what I do, but I really enjoy it. So yeah.
Tell me about Cloudsmith, how it works and what kind of service it provides.
Yeah, so Cloudsmith is a cloud native universal artifact management solution. So this means we you'll write your software and you'll create your artifact and you want to publish it to a private artifact management solution, and we're one of them. And because we're cloud native, we're available no matter where you are in the world, and you can, your teams can have that fast service. We also support all your formats, so your NPM, your NuGets, your Conan packages, your Docker images, we're a container registry as well. And we're also, because we're a package management solution, we're actually really important to supply chain management. And that's really been a big topic the last few years. And we really see our role as that single source of truth for your packages, and how we're really central to your story when it comes to supply chain management. And so we have a lot of features to help you with that. I mean, from one, we have, like, you can authenticate, you know, using all those secure things, you know, like your OICD for your CICD. You can with Scheme, we have like single sign-on, you know, SAML, all that kind of stuff, that those table stakes thing, your audit logs. And then we also have stuff to help you manage your packages. So we have a policy manager, which works hand in hand with our, we have vulnerability scan on all your packages, and you can have a policy saying, oh, you can't use this package if it's above this level of vulnerability. Oh, you can't use that package if you're using licenses that we don't approve of. And so you can build nice workflows to do with that. So yeah, we're central to any developer, and a lot of developers mightn't even know that you're using us, because we work with your native tooling. So if you're using NPM, just use your NPM package manager, but you're configured to actually push to Cloudsmith. So yeah, of course, as well, another big part of Cloudsmith is that we upstream we proxy and cache your open source packages, and that has a lot of benefits. Even from reliability, but also from security. So you're pulling all your open source into an area that you can control. And then you also have all the features on policy management, and that can be applied to your open source. So you can build up these, you can feel much more secure that the code you're building is doesn't have vulnerabilities. And you just know what you're using. You know the open source you're using, which is a difficult task nowadays because there's so many dependencies. And we help you with that story. Yeah.
So as a developer relations, what is your responsibility?
So actually recently I was in product and now I'm in marketing. So it's kind of clear what my responsibilities are. I need to tell people about Cloudsmith that are going to use it. I need to find people that might use Cloudsmith and tell them about it. And I also want to bring back the developer story to the product. So tell them if there's particular features that would delight a developer, or a or a different people that have roles in the company, like, you know, if you're a DevOps leader or something like that, we want to have features around that. I might bring that information back to product. And also, but a lot of what I do day to day is I'll write a blog, I'll be researching webinars, I might try to get external people to come in, or I'll try to help our internal team develop a webinar as well. So they would be the core things, webinars and blogs. And then also bringing back my knowledge to the product. So that's where I am. I also do the product documentation. So.
Okay. So how is working with different businesses which belongs to different industries?
Like our customers or?
Yeah. Your
customers. Oh yeah. So yeah, there's it is interesting because like I what I've noticed from when I started in Cloudsmith to now is that these that supply chain security has been a big driver for certain industries to select Cloudsmith, like pharmaceutical or finance. They want to get these features around supply chain security, and they're especially worried about their open source dependencies. Then there's other people that just want to have that use us for distribution. They actually use us to distribute their products to customers. So we have a customer that sells fonts. I think they're the second biggest font seller after Google Fonts. And they use us to distribute their fonts to their customers, and they can, like, say a customer can pay for fonts, and then we'll give them entitlement tokens so they know who's using them, and they have lots of like fine-grained features around who can access a package. They can say, oh, they can access whatever they want for the next month, the next day, or they can have five today or something like that. So they are another type of customer. We also have people that are just want, they have distributed teams, and they, I don't know if you work on, if you use on-prem, a lot of people came from on-premise artifact management solution, and they want to go into the cloud. And one of the reasons that drives them there is that things are just getting really slow. They might have a team in Europe, in America, and maybe in Asia, and they have to buy an instance for each region. It's getting expensive and it's hard to manage. They need to have two people managing their artifact management system, and that could be working on the product itself. And so they want to offload that management to Cloudsmith. And that's perfectly great use case for us. We have like a package distribution network. It's kind of like a CDN with like extra little package features, and we have like 400 odd points of presence around the world, and so that kind of use case really works for us. Distributed teams love us. So yeah.
So working as an engineer, learning skill set and implementing for the development and engineering thing, and that is different from speaking with people that you are doing today. So how tough it is for you?
I don't find it too tough anymore. Actually, do you know, at the start I did find it a bit daunting, because you don't know how an interview is going to go. You don't know if what they're going to say, or if you'll understand what they're saying. Like, they might be talking about technology that you haven't touched on before, and you just don't want to come across like you didn't put in the effort. But you can get by that by just doing a bit of research, looking into their background. And also, I have to say, since the last few months I've been using ChatGPT a lot to really help me like come up with questions. It's not perfect, you know, you'd never use what it says verbatim, but it really helps you get to where you want to be. You know, you don't spend that all that initial time like brainstorming, you can kind of get to where you want to be faster. That's what I find ChatGPT to be really useful for when researching blogs and webinar questions, that it really like just kind of supercharges that research process.
So observing the software architecture and trying to solve the software problems, trying to understand the business side of the Cloudsmith, so in the wider angle and in a bigger perspective, so how Cloudsmith is solving business problems globally?
I think nearly any software company could use Cloudsmith. It's one of those like nearly that boring tool that you just need. You have to have somewhere. It's like your source control. You need artifact management. So we've been like, somebody has been solving this problem for a long time. And Cloudsmith has come at us from day one. It was always going to be cloud native. And that's been a real, it's how it separated us from our competitors. Even other competitors have cloud offerings, but they're not like we're more cloudy, I suppose. there's not much management on the user side. We take on all that work for you, and so that is always our proposition. We're cloud native artifact management that help you secure your software supply chain, and so that is, a lot of people want that. Yeah. Especially since all these supply chain attacks, the big one was like SolarWinds, where state actors somehow got into their build system and were able to add software to a deployment, and this got into lots of big companies. And it's the kind of thing people are terrified of. And from then on, there was this executive order from Biden's administration about supply chain security, about software. And they've really made a huge push in understanding how software is built and how important open source is to software, and how there's no way back from, like, we're not going to redo Kubernetes. We're going to keep using open source, but we have to do it in a way that's safe and secure for people using your software. Yeah.
So how is it beneficial for other countries to use Cloudsmith?
Sorry, say that again.
How it is beneficial for other countries other than Ireland? How it is beneficial, how they are going to solve their business problems with it?
Our biggest customers in the US, and there's just more software in the US, so we just go wherever there's software being made, you could use Cloudsmith. I mean, like, I really think anybody could use Cloudsmith. I don't think we're not really that niche. We don't have like, oh, we're only after pharmaceutical companies, are only after distributors. It's anybody that uses software could use Cloudsmith. You want to have a tool that's kind of more cloudy and where you want better support. That's another thing that we have. I mean, have you ever tried to contact support for a tool that you're using? It's like, it can be terrible. And that's one of our differentiators, is our support and trying to be a partner with our customers, as opposed to just do the deal and done. This partnership is continued, and you can see that through our customer success and through our support. It's like engineer led, and we have like that's a real differentiator for Cloudsmith. So I really think we could sell this product to anywhere, any team, any software team. But the businesses that are really interested in us are they want to use all cloud tools, or they want to secure their supply chain, they want to understand their open source, and they want to have more control on their software supply chain and their dependencies. So they're the type of teams that buy Cloudsmith or could buy it. Yeah.
So what scale company?
Yeah. Sorry.
what scale companies are like, small scale or medium or large? Which scale company can be can use the Cloudsmith and
have a few different plans. So we have, first off, if you're open source and you can prove that you're open source, which of course you could if you were, we have a free plan for you. We also have we have a team plan. Oh, let's see all the, they changed the names of the plans. You're getting me now. Let me get pricing plans. So we have So it was team, now it's pro. I knew that was for like small distributed teams. Then you have your velocity, would be your mid-sized team. And then we have ultra. And with that, you have like SLO. We have like enterprise features like, let's see, would be like more, you know, where you need to have like your audit logs exported, where you need your policy management, you need to have SCIM, you need license management, you need your security scanning, all that kind of stuff. So that would be your ultra plan, where you need all the bells and whistles. You need to have all those like kind of enterprise features, like for logging in, like SCIM would be used for logging in, you know, like an awful lot of people. We don't want to set up a user, each individual user. So you don't really need that for your team plan, maybe not even for velocity. But so we have three types of plans. We do self-service as well. So you don't even need to talk to sales if you don't want to. But they're really nice, don't worry. Yeah, so we cater for all businesses. We awesome. Want them all.
So tell me about your skill set. What's your skill?
My skill set is that I've worked in a lot of tooling. I've worked in a lot of, like, even languages. I've used C++, C#, Node, Python. Like, I've used a lot of tooling, a lot of different versioning systems, like and a lot of different tools for being a developer, a lot of like Visual Studio Code, Visual Studio, Python, Sublime. I've lived that life of a developer where you're just using your tech stack is changing, you're using cloud tooling, you're using containerization. There's just a lot of stuff going on, and you can't be an expert in everything. You need to use, if you possible, you want to use tools where the minimum you need to know, what you need to know is kept to a minimum, and anything you need to do is well documented, is fast, and it just works. And that's what Cloudsmith wants to be. We just want to work. We want to be seamless, and we want to solve your issues in supply chain security and package management. Yeah.
So, being an integrator between software developers and engineers and the sales teams and business side of your Cloudsmith, so how you manage and how your engineering experience is helping you to make things done?
I think I just, like, in order to write a blog that a developer could read, would read and would be helpful to him, you need to have a bit of tech knowledge. You need to, it would be better if you're like, you have lived that life of a DevOps engineer or a developer, and that you can bring something to them. Be hard to, package management, it's so technical, you know, it's hard. It's like, you know, all it's, so I, that's what I bring. You know, I can understand the problem. I understood it as a developer. Now I understand that world of supply chain security. It's been kind of opened up to me in Cloudsmith. I kind of understood it, but not really. I remember being a developer and being worried about bringing in open source, new open source packages into a product. And I'd be like, is this okay to use? Like, and I would like look at the website and I'd be like, it seems okay, you know? And I would, but you'd always be a little bit worried. And it's, I suppose I should have known then it was going to be a big problem, you know, that like eventually this whole industry is around supply chain security. And it's just that we've always been that supply chain security product, but now we're like, but because we were package management, we were just central to that problem. And it just all made sense kind of like the last few years, just like, oh, we're like super important, not just for package management, but just for securing your environment and understanding your dependencies. And that's what I bring to my role, that I understand the issues you have as a developer, why you might bring in something that's unsecure. You don't want to bring in malware. Oh my God, could you imagine? You don't want to bring in malware, but it's just these things sometimes are easy to do and we don't want to make it easy. And I want to help you with workflows that make it to help you securely consume open source, to help you securely release your software. That's what I want to do. And I've lived that role as a developer, and now I'm trying to help you with your best practices. So that's me.
So you're too technical. You write blogs about how to use tools and how to understand it and where to use it. Since you have engineering experience, you know how things work and how you are using that technology knowledge and integrating with the business problems that your clients or your customers have.
Yeah, so say I do a workflow. I will do the workflow, you know, I'll set up my GitHub Actions or whatever it is, CircleCI, and try to go through the process. And then by going through that process, you can kind of pick out where things aren't like as maybe slick as they could be. And so that's one way that I can bring it back. I'm also always listening to OpenSSF have brilliant working groups that give you a lot of good information. And I try to bring that back to Cloudsmith. And yeah, so I just keep my ear open to industry news around package formats, around supply chain security, and I bring it back. Sometimes we think it's important, sometimes we don't. And that's where I kind of integrate with those other teams. Also, where I would mostly integrate with engineering is when I'm doing the product documentation. There's a new feature. I'll need their help usually to finish off the documentation. So it's a great way to keep up to date on your product. So yeah.
And why Cloudsmith is successful?
Why? Sorry, say that again.
Why Cloudsmith is successful?
So say it again.
Why?
I'm sorry, you were just breaking up there.
What are your team? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, so why Cloudsmith is successful and what your team is doing, what magic is happening in order to make things happen and, you know, understand.
We got in a new CEO, and our last CEO hasn't left. He's our CTO. But he has brought so much enthusiasm to the role, and he's really, he understands more that maybe the marketing element of a successful company. And he's really pushing us this year. I mean, I think 2024 is going to be a huge year for Cloudsmith. We've just got this renewed funding as well to really invest in the product. We have all these, we have these, lots of new targets, and we're with more help, more people, more engineers, more product managers, and I just, a great year for Cloudsmith. I'll talk to you in January 2025. I'll be like, and you'll see. Yeah. So it's just, we just want more sales, more features, more, just more of everything. I think, people need a product like Cloudsmith. So it's easy to sell it. I say, as someone who doesn't have to sell.
So tell me about your technology journey, how it started, and what you understood being in technology, and how much experience you have in total.
I started, did computer science, then I did a master's in computer vision, then worked as a computer vision engineer, then worked in web apps, then worked on a security product, then worked on that security product's cloud transformation. So I have like 10 years experience as a developer. And that's my experience as a developer. And that's that was, and who knows, I could move back into development. I actually think my role as developer relation has made me like kind of understand what I was doing more. Sometimes when you're in it, you're just trying to make, you're just nearly thinking every 2 week sprint. You're just trying to get your code done every 2 weeks. And you're kind of, you don't have enough time to plan what you're doing, or kind of have a better understanding of what you're doing. And I feel like working this role and being given the privilege of like researching interesting topics, and like has elevated my knowledge as well. So yeah, I love it.
So starting from computer science and engineering studies till today, you're working and helping different businesses and with the technology tools that you have through Cloudsmith and solving problems. In this 10 years of understanding about technology, what do you say about technology evolution? How humans are using technology to solve their problems, and technology is helping humanity to reduce their effort and energy?
I think that software is everywhere. It touches most people's lives. This is how you, I suppose, where we see, your billing is easier online. There's new financial products that are really based on, they're really a software company, but they have finances that is the product. You have your, same with all that, like your taxis, your food delivery. It's just like, it's just taking, it's in everybody's life. And I suppose this year and the last few years, but I feel like it's really taking off this year, is AI, obviously. I think everybody is saying it. And I think how that's going to change, like I can see it the last few months, how my role has changed with AI. I use ChatGPT a lot just to kind of finesse ideas, to maybe make a start at a blog. So I see it right now, it's enabling me. It's like I'm using AI to make my work better and faster. I don't know when it's going to come to the point where AI will just take over my job. You don't need it could happen. But right now, and probably for the next few years, it's probably going to be as a tool to make you better at your role, to make you more efficient. But eventually it's going to definitely be able to take on more of that work. So how does it help humanity? So we can do things better, but we should also think about our role. We should also think that, outside of tech, people are really important too, and that that tech should only help, like it should only be a benefit to society, to companies, to people. And then that's where it's important, where it's helping people. I it's such an open-ended question. You got me.
So I want to ask another question, which is more deeper.
Okay.
Which is more, bigger perspective question. So humanity, they are using technology, and you have seen the evolution of the technology in this 10 years. So what is going to be in future, after understanding how things have changed, the constant change that is happening in the technology, how it is affecting humanity, and what are the things that we need to put in mind as a technologist in order to make the technology reach human beings and help in a positive way?
Well, I'm not sure if it, I suppose we should, to help in a positive way, we should try to develop software as efficiently to the environment as possible. I think that is something that I haven't really seen many people talk about, but every time you run a build, I'm sure some tree is burning somewhere. So I think there'll probably be more focus on environmentally friendly CI/CD or something like that. That would be, now that is so narrow. When you talk about humanity, I'm like bringing it back to making software. So the whole point of making software is to products that help people. So maybe how software is being made will focus more on the idea and less the process, because it's so heavy lifting. So many developers are needed. So much is needed to maintain your software. You can't even leave it for like a few weeks without doing updates. There's a lot into making a product, and that if there's some way to put it back onto the idea to this product does this thing to help people,
less focus on
and less
building it.
And there's
maybe that
less
will
focus on help. Yeah.
So when it comes to your problem solving ability that you used to have when you are a DevOps engineer or working in a security side. So how different that is when comes to solving the business problems today as a developer relations?
So the business problem is, I suppose people that maybe decide they want to buy Cloudsmith, they mightn't be the day-to-day users of Cloudsmith. So there's like, we want to help the features that the leaders want. Say you've led a team and you've decided, no, there's too many issues with your old artifact management system. We need to have a new system, and these are the features that we need to help our to improve our workflow. And so there's a lot of focus on that person, and there should be, because we need to make a product that we can sell to people. But also I try to bring it from, sometimes I bring it back to the user. How do you actually, how do you use Cloudsmith? Where are the little issues that make life a little bit more difficult for you? What are the big issues that you want? And I try to, and what is coming up that will help these developers? Maybe there's features people are talking about in like the open SSF forums, or that will really supercharge this developer's workflow. And that's where I try to help our product team.
So how your team works together in order to solve the business problems, how they understand any software?
So our team, we have our engineering team, obviously, we have our product team. Our product team will decide on features that they want to develop for a quarter. And the reason they come to these decisions might be they might have some of our customers might have asked for certain things. And if we think they're important enough, we will put them in our quarterly feature list. Maybe we see features that
will help our developers, help our users. We'll form a nice story and we'll make it easier for them to develop secure software. So stuff like that. You know, we listen to our users. We listen to what's coming up. We see things, we see gaps in our own service. And we see as well, so maybe some people aren't asking for something, but there's an up and coming technology that people want. When they're buying it, they want to have a certain format. They want to have a certain feature. And so that then we'll bring that back into the, we'll bring it into our cycle. And we kind of weigh it up, the product team weigh up. Well, what should I do? And what also, if something's really difficult to do, that will obviously be part of that process. You know, can you do a lot of easy things? Can you do one big things, a few easy, you know, all that kind of thing they think about with their product hats on.
So, at last, what do you say to my audience who are watching this and listening to this conversation from anywhere on this planet?
If you're developing software and you're worried about your dependencies, you should use a private artifact management system like Cloudsmith. It'll solve a lot of that problem to do with consuming open source security. And also it'll solve your problems from a point of view of working with distributed teams, with distributing your code all over the world. We'll help you with all that stuff. And we integrate with all the tooling that you like, and we support all your formats. So yeah, that's what I want you to know.
So what's your observation? At last, what is your observation about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
Oh, it's wonderful the work you're doing, like just pinging people and asking them. You've had some wonderful guests, like that I really rate their opinion of. And like, yeah, just keep it up. Just like, it's such, just well done for like asking people. It's hard to ask people to come on your show. I see it from webinar point of view. It's like, you know, you're out there, you're finding people that you're interested in their work, and you want them to tell their story. So that's admirable.
I did master's in software engineering,
yeah.
Also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now I'm working as a cloud DevOps engineer for a UK company.
Oh, right,
so,
okay.
Yeah. That's my
job. Oh, maybe you need a new artifact management system.
So that's my full-time job.
Yeah.
So apart from that, I'm taking interviews like, you know, experts like you who are already in the technology industry from all over the world, trying to understand how technology business is working and how engineering experts are working in order to build a product or the service and solving human problems, trying to understand the problems from everywhere in the world. More than 100 countries experts I have interviewed from companies, all top technology companies, Microsoft, Google, Netflix, Amazon, AWS, Azure, GCP, like all kinds of companies, like small to large, and no matter from which country they are from. So having an engineering background like you, having two couple of degrees, professional degrees, and talking with experts and trying to understand how they are solving problems and how this technology businesses and products and services are helping human beings and different industries in the world, how this experience is going to add value to my career and how I'm going to
Absolutely.
Use this knowledge for my career.
Yeah, like have you found that it's like elevated what you know by trying to understand different industries and different problems people are having? Yeah.
So how it will help me?
Have you found like interviewing all these people, has it like elevated your own knowledge and kind of made you better at your day job?
Great. And any thoughts?
Yeah, I just think, yeah, doing your like outside work interviewing people probably has elevated what you know in your cloud engineering job. that you see what how other people are solving problems, and maybe you can bring that into your day-to-day role.
Great.
Yeah, I gotta go soon.
Yeah, can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Yeah, no problem. That's great.
Also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Yeah.
Sure. And do you want to share your web links? Or
I'll share it as well. I'll connect with you on LinkedIn.
Sure. Thank you very much again for your time.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. It's Start Adam. Sales and customer facing teams often switch between several communication tools, causing time management and visibility issues that can slow down deal velocity. The solution, Start Adam, where conversation converts. With Start Adam, your team can centralize all communications within your chat tool, no more switching, waiting, or fragmented chats, because chat messaging is where business gets done. Sales teams can stay in Slack or Microsoft Teams and connect with customers, leads, or candidates on their existing chat tool, building better relationships through constant communication in inbound or outbound messaging. Make it encrypted and compliant. Plus, bring all communications into your CRM or ticketing system. No data entry required. Join Start Adam to enhance customer relationships and close deals at hyper speed with unified chat.